Hey, welcome to episode 4 of Learning the Ropes, a pro wrestling podcast. My name is Scott.
And I'm Brian.
And I'm a lifelong wrestling fan, and Brian here just started watching wrestling like a couple months ago.
Yeah, just like nothing too big, but you know, I know enough to make me dangerous.
So, for those who haven't listened to the podcast before, Brian is a filmmaker who directed a music video for me. I'm a rapper named Rhyme Time, mm-hmm. and I have a song called Punchlines and Clotheslines that's all about backyard wrestling. And he directed it, but didn't know anything about wrestling, and then has caught the bug since
then.
Yeah,
it was I really think that's where the genesis was for me, because yeah, you took me to an event after that, but like being in the ring and you know, filming you guys running around and hitting the ropes and whatnot, that was so much fun.
It's still the best music video I've ever been a part of. I love it. So we came up with this idea to do a wrestling podcast where I have been watching wrestling since I was like 13 years old. And
I've been banned from watching wrestling, or I was banned from watching wrestling as a child.
Yeah, his parents literally wouldn't let him. I went to pro wrestling school. I was a backyard wrestler. I'm just a big wrestling nerd. So I said, hey, pick a wrestler. And I will give you the best matches of his or her career. And your first one that you picked was Macho Man?
Macho Man.
And we went from Macho Man to Macho Man to Ultimate Warrior.
To Undertaker.
To Shawn Michaels today.
Yeah, to Shawn Michaels today.
So these are the matches that I had Brian watch. I had him watch the ladder match from WrestleMania 10 with Razor Ramon. Shawn Michaels versus Diesel from In Your House 7, Good Friends, Better Enemies. Obviously, the Survivor Series 1997 against Bret Hart, the Montreal Screwjob.
Oh, man.
Triple H in 2002 at SummerSlam. Shawn Michaels versus Chris Jericho at WrestleMania. I forgot which one that was. I just wrote WrestleMania. It's that one.
It was either 19 or 20 or something.
I think it was
like
19,
that.
Yeah. Shawn Michaels versus Chris Benoit versus Triple H at WrestleMania 20. And Shawn Michaels versus Kurt Angle at 21. So, yeah, he had three WrestleManias right in a row. And they call him Mr. WrestleMania.
Oh, do they? Oh, okay.
So, before we dive into any of, like, his history, I sort of just want to get your base thoughts on Shawn Michaels without any influence from me.
Yeah. No, so from what I saw, because there weren't very... So, but when I came over here today to do this, you're like, well, I kind of want to give you a little bit more context of who he is. So you had me, you showed me some of the DX stuff, you know, which I had no idea about other than they were doing like the whole like cross crotch chop thing.
Suck it!
Yeah. And I remember kids doing that to me in elementary school.
Like, what
junior high.
The hell is that?
I really don't like that.
With no wrestling context, that is just obscene.
Don't know what this is. I know I don't like it though. But,
I will not. I will not suck it, thank you.
No, thank you, sir.
Coach, stop.
Anyway, no, he seemed like just the everyman's hero of sorts, where it was really hard to root against him. Cocky as hell.
He sure is.
Cocky as hell. But for some reason, you buy into it, and you buy into him being the hero. Now, I didn't see too much of his heel work, except for in the... Oh, shoot. When was he the heel with the Bret Hart?
Yeah, Survivor Series.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I was re-looking over these matches, and I was watching them, and I realized that he had like a whole nother career before WrestleMania 10.
Oh, really?
And I didn't cover any of
like
the
stuff. His look was different.
Yeah.
Everything like that. And like, but yeah, the thing is like, he's fun to, like, oh man. Also, can I just say, longest matches in the world.
And that seems to be the trend of some of these episodes is, it's the big WrestleMania payoffs.
Yeah.
And I'm going, if I've got to pick five matches
it's
they're going to be the long ones.
And I appreciate him, but man, some of his matches are really, really long. But he's fun to watch in the ring. Like he brings his character to life. You know, there are some guys that just kind of like walk around the ring and are super boring, you know, just being tough guys. For example, Diesel, his match with Diesel, that guy is like hardly ever moving other than just like kind of sauntering around and whatnot. I get that he's being the intimidating predator, you
Absolutely.
Know, and he's going to take out Shawn Michaels. but at the same time, like, it was boring, but like when Shawn Michaels is, like, when he takes a hit, man, he sells the hell out of that hit.
Absolutely. A lot of people will compare Dolph Ziggler to Shawn Michaels in that way, that he's like really good at selling other people's moves. And actually, I think one of the best sellers right now is Brock Lesnar. For being such a big guy, Brock Lesnar really sells other people's moves. And then you go back and you're right. You look at Diesel. Diesel did not sell. And the more Diesel you end up watching, the more you realize that that is a common thread with him. And he was a slow moving wrestler. And then I don't know how much they covered this in the match you watched, but the storyline leading up to the Shawn Michaels versus Diesel match is that Shawn Michaels sort of didn't have any friends in WWF in real life.
Sad Shawn.
Because he had burned a lot of bridges and was kind of feeling a little lonely, and he's kind of an asshole and kind of a huge asshole.
A really lonely asshole.
Yeah, he's the lonely asshole.
Just one.
And so he saw a guy named Vinny Vegas in WCW.
Vinny Vegas.
And said, oh, that guy's great. Let's call him, bring him over to WWF. He's going to be my bodyguard. And so for a year or so, he was Big Daddy Cool Diesel, and he was strictly
Big Daddy Cool.
He was strictly Shawn Michaels' bodyguard.
Oh, okay.
And then it all led up to, there's that clip where it's like, the honeymoon is over, and they start fighting each other, just like all friends do, and leads up to this.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Match.
Like with WWE, it's like, you know, the second that a friendship emerges, you know that thing is doomed to fail.
Yeah. I'm excited for our match. Yeah, when someday one of us turns on the other
one. Oh, yeah, no, that's going to be...
you sweet chin music me out of nowhere. And I'm like, why?
And then you're going to like do the pedigree on me. And it's going to be... and it's all going to be just audio. No video whatsoever.
Right. Like, this is confusing to listen to. I don't like this podcast anymore. I got to get your thoughts on the Shawn Michaels Razor Ramon ladder match. So that, I don't know if you know, that was the first ladder match in WWF history.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
You can tell. You can kind of tell. I thought it was great. I love the gimmick of Shawn Michaels, like, walking around the ladder that's, like, right outside the entrance.
Oh, for,
like,
good luck.
Yeah, yeah, for good luck. Yeah. And then Razor Ramon's just like, no way. I'm walking right under this ladder. And then the announcer's like, did you just see what he did?
That was bad luck
right there. Sorry for screaming.
No, that wasn't your first ladder match, because we watched WrestleMania together.
Yeah, we watched a lot of ladders. There's a big difference between that ladder match and the ladder match we watched.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But it's interesting, I think, with that match is that you see the blueprint for all ladder matches to come.
Yeah.
You see a lot of the same moves. You see people getting dropped onto it or sort of flung into it when it's sitting up in the corner, people jumping off it. And I remember, I think it was JR, the announcer. I remember him saying in an interview once, he says, I'm old school. I didn't know what the hell they were going to do with that ladder. Like, I heard that they're going to do a ladder match, and I was like, what's a ladder match?
Yeah, like, what the hell does that even mean? Like, I can only imagine at that time, it's like, why? Okay, so this is a ring. Why are we bringing a ladder in?
Right, and that was not the first ladder match that had ever happened. There's ladder matches dating back to the 70s, I think. But this was, and usually to grab, like, a bag full of cash or something.
Yeah.
But this was the first in WWF, definitely the first in the mainstream for, like, the whole world to see.
Yeah.
And...
Oh, so this wasn't, like, the first one ever. This was just...
No, first WWF one.
Okay.
Yeah, first one, I think a lot of people would probably guess this was the first one. It was sort of built that way. They're like, what the hell are they going to do with this ladder?
Oh, interesting.
It's exciting. And what I love about this is the storyline is a great blend of real life and kayfabe in that...
Oh, interesting. How so?
Shawn Michaels was the IC champion, and he... tested positive for steroids.
Oh no, Shawn.
So he got suspended for 30 days.
Done.
Now he has gone on the record saying, I was doing a shitload of drugs, but never steroids. He's like, I've had a lot of vices. I think someone probably just gave me some pills. I took them, and some of them were steroids.
Wow.
But I'm not a steroid user. And he is small.
Yeah.
He's small compared to a lot of the people he wrestled.
He's a smallish guy. You can tell that he's got some bulk on him like a little bit earlier in his career, though.
Yeah.
Like, there was some bulk.
But he doesn't look like the rest of the guys
in
that era.
He doesn't look like Triple H at all.
He played football in Texas in high school, and he said that he was the biggest guy on his team. And afterwards, after football, he went into wrestling where he was the smallest.
Yeah.
And so that's where you get guys like Chris Jericho, saying he was a big inspiration for me because he was a guy who was my size and he was, you know, fantastic. So this ladder match, Sean has the belt in real life, physically has the belt, doesn't think he deserves to be suspended. He says, I don't do steroids. I'm not sending the belt back. Mm-hmm. You can come get it in Texas or what, but they, they're like, send the belt back. He won't do it. So they get another belt and they have a tournament and Razor Ramon wins it. And then when Sean comes back off of suspension, they have, you know, who's the real Intercontinental Champion. They have the two belts hanging and that's why there were two up at the top.
I see. Yeah, I was confused about that.
Yeah. They just, it used to be a really fat guy's belt and they needed two to go around his waist. So they just like, so that's, yeah, that led up to that match. I just love that I can see the blueprint for every other ladder match and starting at that one.
I mean, considering that that was one of the first ones that was the first one for WWF, there's a lot of creativity involved with how that ladder was going to come into play, you know?
Yeah. You think it would grow over the years and it did, you know, it did.
Oh, sure. There are a lot of teeth that are a lot of missing teeth that owe a thanks to the ladders.
Yeah. Let's go talk about Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart.
Oh man! Now you want to talk about this now?
Yeah, I want to. I want to talk about this now because I have to get your thoughts. Because
so this is super interesting. Like, because I'm a little confused as to what is going on here, but something is something weird is happening. So they build Bret Hart as well. I mean, so he's from Alberta, Canada, or sorry, is it from Montreal or is it from Alberta? I don't know.
I can't remember where. I knew.
I don't want to offend anybody, but I already have.
I don't think he's from Montreal. I'm doubling down, but the just match on Canada. Takes place in Montreal.
Okay. So anyway, yeah. So they're in Canada. He's Canadian. They love him because they're Canadians.
Yeah,
together.
He's the Canadian hero.
Yeah. So and then you got Shawn Michaels. This was a really good match. You know. I can't remember if this was one where Shawn Michaels was bleeding like crazy or not, because he usually was.
I know. I did send you a lot of like blood matches. That was that Triple H one is insane. Oh, man. This is so great.
But, yeah. The ending of this one, really strange. Like, it.
I'm so excited. I can't tell you. I'm like, my heart's beating fast. I'm just like, this is one of the most talked about wrestling matches in all of wrestling history.
Okay.
Because of this ending. And I purposely didn't send Brian any clips or any context. I just said, here, watch. Here's seven matches, so, like, and here's one of them.
The match ends, and like, Bret Hart is like spitting outside of the ring, like he looks really confused, and then Shawn Michaels just takes the belt and he's just like he's basically like running away, you know, like there's no ceremony or anything like that. I think like it looks, I don't know, it looks like there's like some shame happening. I don't know what's going on, and like
so what to the fill hell? To fill you in, it's complicated but it's exciting. Bret Hart was leaving WWF to go to WCW. He was going to get like another $1 million per year. He was he hated Shawn Michaels in real life, and Shawn Michaels hated him in real life. Huge, long history of, you know, those two guys hating each other. Bret Hart's the champion. He knows because he's leaving, the belt's going to Shawn. For some reason, Bret decides that he can't lose the belt in Canada. He won't do it. I won't let Shawn beat me in Canada. And they're like, yes, you will. You got to. The pay-per-view's in Canada. That's just the way things worked out. It's nothing against you, nothing against Canada. Mm-hmm. You got to drop the belt to Shawn. And he won't do it. And they're like, okay, drop the belt in Detroit the night before. And they're like, no, I'm going. And Bret, you know, he's fighting him at every turn. And his contract is up, I think, the day after this pay-per-view.
Oh, really?
And so there's been a history of people jumping ship from WWF to WCW with their title belts. So bring their WWF belts to WCW, and one in particular, her name was Medusa. She was the WWF Women's Champion. Uh-huh. She showed up with the women's belt and literally dropped it into a trash can. And said, you know, long live WCW. And it was the beginning of this big feud between the two companies.
Oh, wow.
So Vince is shitting himself going, well, I can't let my biggest title go on my biggest wrestler who I can't believe, you know, is leaving the company.
Right. Like, what do they do with the title after the person left, usually?
So in this case, they wanted Shawn Michaels to win the title, and right. then they would just move along as
but
normal.
But what did they normally do? Like, would there normally just be like a I don't know, they just assigned to somebody, or I don't know.
Yeah, they would. The bookers would pick the wrestler who they want to be the next champion, and hopefully, you know, the guy's going to leave soon. Or you know, with enough time to build up a credible next champion. And in this case, they had Shawn Michaels. Mm-hmm. And so Bret Hart was going to leave not the champion, whether he liked it or not.
I see.
That is the drama that we're getting into right okay. now. And that is why that finish seems so weird, is because
They cut it off, too.
Yeah.
They cut it off.
It's a double cross. So Vince McMahon and Shawn Michaels decide that they are going to end the match in a different way that they told Bret Hart it was going to end.
Oh, really?
So Bret Hart did not know he was going to lose that night.
Hence the confused expression.
Absolutely. And the fury in his eyes.
Yeah.
So Vince McMahon comes running down towards the end of the match. Shawn Michaels gets Bret Hart in the sharpshooter, the leg submission
hold. Yeah, his own move.
His own move.
Yeah.
And out of nowhere, the bell rings.
Yeah, there wasn't like he didn't tap or anything like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. That's right.
He didn't tap and there was no, like, the hard camera was away. Or sorry, not, I don't know if it was a hard camera or not, but the camera was, like, it had their backs.
Right.
So you didn't know what was going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, you don't know.
So
it's because Vince told the timekeeper to ring the bell and just end the match.
What?
Even though Bret Hart never tapped out, they just screwed him. And Sean knew that the fireworks were about to take off, so you're right. He grabs the belt and he runs.
Ran. He booked it out of there.
Yeah, and so legend goes that Bret, he stands up, he spits in Vince's face,
yeah,
and that's
a
for
big
real.
Old loogie, which was gross.
He uses his fingers to spell out the letters WCW.
Okay.
On WWF, you know, pay per view.
Right.
And then the story goes that he comes backstage, goes into Vince's office and just punches him right in the face and just said, wow. You know, you screwed me. And the famous quote from Vince McMahon is, Bret screwed Bret, you know, by not playing ball. And Shawn Michaels and Triple H were supposed to say that they didn't know anything about it beforehand and that they were just, I didn't know the match was going to end. The bell rang and yeah. I just figured it out and ran, but they knew beforehand.
Yeah,
that was a really big transition into this, you need to know as a wrestling fan what's going on backstage.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the most interesting drama and storylines.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I'm so much more interested in that than, like, don't get me wrong, I love the cartoony drama that happens in the ring. For some reason, we have to resolve all of our issues in the ring.
Sure.
But that's, like, just hearing that Vince McMahon got punched in the face, or maybe, you know, that's the legend, right? The WCW stuff, like, that's
absolutely
awesome, you
it's
know?
Yeah. So that is, they call it the Montreal Screwjob, and it is one of the most legendary matches that has ever happened.
We're covering a lot of legendary matches, it seems, with like the Mankind versus Undertaker,
the Hell in the Cell.
Yeah,
absolutely,
the Hell in the Cell. This one, I can't think of any other one or the other ones that we've done.
I think it helped that you started with Macho Man.
Oh yeah. Oh, with the Elizabeth thing.
If you had started with like Coco Beware or some like lower tier guy,
Scott,
we
I really like Coco Beware. Oh. Can we start a podcast
okay.
over this?
Okay. Where'd you hear about Coco? Sure, here's some matches with Coco. Yeah, you really picked a top tier guy, and we've bounced from top tier to top tier.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good, you're seeing these big legendary stuff. What I can't wait for, the thing I'm most excited for with this podcast
yeah.
is like, someday you're going to pick somebody totally random and
yeah.
small, and it's
and I
just
will.
Like, you know, if we did Undertaker versus Giant Gonzalez, and you're like, give me the best six Giant Gonzalez matches. I was like, I don't think he had six. But I'm excited to like get into Japan and Mexico, and like a year from now, I can't wait to see who we've bounced from.
Yeah, it'll be
that's
great.
What I'm most excited about.
And I'm
for.
Really excited about that too. I think right now, what's cool is that we're establishing like a, because like you said, I've watched for a little bit. I actually have to restrict myself from like going online and teaching myself more because I actually really like learning it here.
Yeah.
But what we're doing is kind of establishing like where, like how wrestling got to where it is today.
Yeah, there's not a sense of history. I think we talked about it last week, but I feel that you've done a really good job of like, you don't ask me a lot of like technical questions like
uh-huh.
why when the guy throws him off the ropes does he go, that's not how physics works, or
yeah.
that's, you know, why does this happen, or why is it a three count not a five count,
yeah,
so you sort of like picked up the basics of how wrestling works just by watching some, but there's a sense of history missing. And what's interesting about this Shawn Michaels list is that Shawn Michaels was not one of the key figures in my wrestling background.
Oh, interesting.
He's one of the biggest of all time, but I sort of missed him.
Uh-huh.
So I started watching wrestling in like late 97, maybe early 98.
Okay.
And so Shawn Michaels was injured and beaten up, and I started post-Montreal Screwjob. I found out about that later as a kid. I started getting into DX, which we watched the clips. I showed him like
I showed him like a
5 minute.
Suck it. I don't think suck it has ever like. I don't think it ever actually needs to ever be said ever again.
No,
with how many times they did it?
Yeah, we've hit our quota. Yeah,
oh man, when you showed me that, and that was just a clip.
Yeah, it was just a, like a 5 minute montage of like the best of DX.
I really feel like they want me to suck it, Scott.
Yeah, they do.
I want to.
They really do, and so. And then Shawn Michaels was sort of gone for a while, injured, and then came back around the time where I took a couple years off from watching wrestling.
Okay.
And so this WrestleMania 19, 20, 21, I was in college and not watching wrestling. Well, I didn't have cable.
Do you
cable.
Mind if I ask how? Oh, okay. So it was just kind of like you just didn't have the means to watch it.
I just didn't have the means to watch it. And I was getting into music, and I was living in San Francisco and just like...
Kind of kicking off your rap, like your
yeah,
rapper persona.
Yeah, just like, yeah, my rap and film, you know, screenwriting side of things. And I just, it just, I, actually a lot of people my age stopped watching around the same time. The Attitude era sort of died out. WWF bought WCW.
Well, that was like the time of the Biker Taker and all that stuff, right?
And I missed a lot of that. And we talked with Nick last week.
Well, and everybody
about
seems
that.
To hate that from what I like. Anytime you say that, everybody's just like, oh boy. Like their eyes start rolling.
And that was the best part about talking to Nick last week is that's when he was getting into wrestling.
Oh, really?
And so he was just like, oh, well, that's the best time, the rise of Cena, Brock Lesnar. And I'm just like, I missed a lot of
that. Was
that
during the Attitude Era?
That was right after.
Right after,
so
okay.
Attitude Era sort of died, and then they started a new era that they call, I think, the Ruthless Aggression Era. And that's when these things started coming up. Randy Orton did the whole Legend Killer thing.
Yeah.
And I sort of missed a lot of that, including Shawn Michaels' big, you know, comeback. Mm-hmm. And so when we were putting this list together... I didn't have, besides Montreal Screwjob and the ladder match with Razor Ramon, I didn't have a lot of go-to matches for Shawn Michaels.
Mm-hmm. You had to do a little bit of homework on this one.
Yeah, I did, and it was awesome. Uh-huh. I like have a whole new appreciation for him, even though he's
what
a huge dick.
What are your thoughts
on him? He seems like a huge dick. He seems
like
a asshole, but entertaining. They call him Mr. WrestleMania, and I think that name fits.
Mm-hmm.
Reading all about the backstage politics with him was really interesting. He refused to drop the titles to people numerous times.
Oh, interesting.
And there was one where he was supposed to drop a title, and he was suddenly injured. He had to vacate the title, so he didn't have to lose. It could go to the guy.
Okay.
But he was back in the... You know, he was back in the ring 3 months later, and everybody thought he faked it, and it was, you know... He was weird. I always like to come up with like one term for each wrestler that sort of sums up who they are.
Yeah.
And Shawn Michaels, I couldn't decide between two. One, he's a master politician. He worked Vince McMahon and the backstage politics better than anybody else.
Right.
He ruined people's careers with
really?
The politics. Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
He was, there was a guy named Chris Candido, and he was sleeping with Chris Candido's girlfriend.
Oh, no.
And they were doing tons of pills together, and they were just like a huge drug addict, and just and Chris Candido ended up quitting the company over that, and just was suicidal and just couldn't handle it.
Oh,
and just
dear.
Got out. And that's just one story. There's a ton like that.
Oof.
Like they had a group called The Click. Oh, I did send you a clip of the curtain call at Madison Square Garden. So you had The Click, which was Shawn Michaels, Triple H, Razor Ramon, and Diesel. And they broke kayfabe, sort of like the first time, and went and hugged each other the night before that Diesel and Razor Ramon were leaving to WCW.
Oh, okay.
And so that was The Click, and The Click really ran things backstage.
Okay.
And they say that after Nash and Hall left at WCW, Michaels was the champion, so all of the punishment sort of just landed on Triple H. And
really, so what do you mean?
Just gave him all the shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just any.
That's so interesting
because
like now he's like
Yeah, he's, apparently he like took
king,
it well.
King shit over there.
Yeah, he's, you know, married now to Vince's daughter and is set to take over the company when Vince, you know, dies. He won't retire. He will, like, he'll call, you know, he'll book, you know, 2 more years of matches after he dies. I feel that guy. Like, if he ever dies, it's crazy. So, yeah, Shawn Michaels to me is just like a huge narcissistic asshole who cared about himself way more than he cared about the business, which we talked about Undertaker.
Yeah.
It was sort of the opposite.
Yeah, he was all business, and he didn't, like, he's now, only now is he Mark Calloway.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the first time. And so now we've got, so I think he's a master politician, and the other phrase that I wrote down was, he's the definition of resilience. Like, he was plagued with injuries from the beginning of his career.
Right.
And every time you thought he was gone, and personal issues, like with all the drug problems and all that stuff, but he keeps coming back. Came back in 2002, came back at WrestleMania 19, 2021, and had that great run and won titles. And he just never quit, even though I would have. I feel almost anybody would have.
My back has been broken
so
500 times.
And then that's the thing, and we'll get into this when we talk about the Triple H match, the Kurt Angle match, some of these others, like, they know his back is hurt for real, and somehow it becomes a storyline that he has a back injury.
And then they target it throughout the match.
Yeah, for reals. It's crazy. So what did you think? Now let's talk about sort of what I call, like, second era Shawn Michaels, comeback Shawn Michaels.
Yeah,
like,
less glam.
The less boy toy, you know.
Oh, man. Can I just tell you, I hate that entry music so bad. I'm not your boy toy.
And to me, that might be my favorite theme song of WWE.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Whitney has a great story. Whitney's my wife. She has this great story where she someone made her a mix CD when she was in college, and that was on there. And she, but with no context that it was a wrestler theme song or anything. And so years later, we're watching wrestling, and that song comes on, and she goes, wait, that's a wrestling song? That's a real song? Like, yeah, I have a mix CD with that on it, like, from 10 years ago.
And for me, I feel, I don't understand the listening, like, the listening draw to that song, period. Anytime that comes on, I'm like, I suppose this is an okay, like, you know.
I think it's
like
a so bad it's good.
It's like a whatever kind of song to come out to, but like, I can never listen to it. I don't know. I became more annoyed.
I think
with
a month from now, you'll come back and just be like, it keeps getting stuck in my head. It's a catchy song. You know, it's quite a tune.
You know what? I'm just going to stick with Macho Man's graduation music. You know who has a badass song was Ultimate Warrior. Like,
that was awesome.
I mean, that song, like, that gets you pumped. Yeah. Just like, I'm ready for those ropes to shake.
Yeah.
But anyway, sorry. Second era.
Yeah, so those matches that we watched were Shawn Michaels versus Triple H, Shawn Michaels versus Jericho, Shawn Michaels in the Triple Threat versus Benoit and Triple H.
Yep, that was a good match.
And Shawn Michaels versus Kurt Angle. So, out of those four, did you have a favorite? Was one really?
I feel like Triple H and him have an awesome chemistry in the ring. So both the matches where Triple H was involved, I really liked those a lot. But I liked the Jericho match actually for Jericho, not because of Shawn Michaels. It's because I actually am a fan of Jericho.
Absolutely,
I love his "you stupid idiot."
Yeah,
you know, like,
you just made the list.
Yeah, like, and that's a new thing, you know. But like, and man, he looked like a weirdo back then too. Like,
oh yeah, the weird beard and the weird, big hair and yeah.
Yeah, but you know, I feel like Jericho is actually like an amazing storyteller in the ring. You know, like, he tells a great story. But I think Shawn Michaels and Triple H have an awesome chemistry in terms of working together in the ring. And I enjoyed both of those matches. I liked the one-on-one better, personally.
Oh, yeah? For me, the Shawn Michaels versus Benoit versus Triple H, I think is one of my all-time favorite
matches. Really? Why is
that? It just, once it starts, it doesn't stop until the match is over.
That's true.
And a lot of times a triple threat match, and you see this, you know, in some parts, but a lot of triple threat matches, one guy's out of commission for half the match, or they take turns, and, you know, the I don't think you've seen one yet, but they have got something called the Money in the Bank ladder match.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah,
I've heard of it, but
it's six men with a ladder match trying to grab a briefcase that gives them a contract for a title shot. Half the time, four of the guys are laying on the outside of the ring two wrestle in the ring.
Kind of like the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, event, absolutely.
Where it's just like the most boring thing in the world. It's like, we're actually only going to watch two guys out of the four guys.
Exactly.
While the rest of them kind of take a nap.
And I thought this one, the triple threat, they go. All three of them. Yeah, I think it's great. The best triple threat match I've ever seen.
I don't know anything about Benoit, but he was great. I just know he's got a big old torso.
He sure does. Yeah. They call him the Canadian Crippler. And I'm excited if we ever do a Benoit episode.
The Canadian Crippler!
There's a lot to talk about Benoit.
Yeah. No, I think I like what I liked about the one-on-one match is actually there was this moment with the referee because like, and we need to talk a little bit more about referees sometime because like, the poor guys are just screaming and nobody's listening to them ever. You know, just, you get that chair out of here. And, you know, the chair's going straight across the guy's back.
Yeah.
You know, you get the ladder out of here. Nope. They're jumping off the ladder and they're going to do it. They're going to drop an elbow. But Triple H has a moment where he's like, he's got the sledgehammer. He's got all of his toys in the ring with Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, because it's a no DQ match. It's an unsanctioned match.
And they kept just saying the WWF wants nothing to do with this. Yeah. You know?
And they just did an unsanctioned match at WrestleMania.
Which one was that? Was that the AJ Styles match?
Oh, I'm gonna blank.
Damn it, we're gonna look like fools on our own podcast. We're gonna look like
real idiots. We just made the list.
Oh, damn it.
Which one? Rollins.
Oh, Rollins. That's right. That's right.
And I didn't know what an unsanctioned
that was a
match
H1
was.
As well.
And I didn't. That's right. Yeah. And I didn't know what an unsanctioned match was. And I had to ask Adam from a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
And so he filled me in. And it's because I missed this unsanctioned match. Mm-hmm. But I loved it. And you were saying about the referee?
Yeah. But like, what I loved is like Triple H kept on reaching for his toys and whatnot. And the referee, like, finally, he just had, like, you know, like they have the thing where like the guy gets distracted by the referee or by the pretty lady out there or by the, you know, the whatever, you know, like one of the guy's best friends outside of the ring, and then they take advantage. It was that set up all the way, but the ref was hilarious because you can hear him. He's like, I'm tired of your sledgehammers and the chairs. I'm not going to take it anymore. Yeah. And you can hear him just screaming in his face. And Triple H is just like, oh, geez, okay. And you see him, like, because the guy's like a little honey badger just coming at him, you know. It's like,
whoa.
I'm sick of it.
All right, little guy.
Anyway, and then the sweet chin music comes and he gets kicked in the face. But you know, for some reason, I find myself like in a match where, because we're like, you're giving me so many classic matches to watch.
Sure.
You know, I feel like I'm definitely seeing through all the best windows, you know, into
we should
wrestling.
Do an episode where I give you like seven shitty matches.
We should probably talk about the worst finishing moves too.
Absolutely.
In terms of, like, just have an episode dedicated to the garbage of wrestling.
I would love that.
But what was I saying? Damn it, I lost my train of thought.
We're talking about referees and...
Oh, I find myself sometimes, like, in some of these classic matches, just because, you know, some of, like you see, wow, that one's great, and then you kind of become a little desensitized sometimes.
Absolutely.
I find myself rooting for the referees sometimes. Like, I...
Leave him alone!
You just... Get away from him. Don't touch him. No, don't grab him by the collar. Don't throw him out of the ring. You know, and it's like, why are you throwing him out of the ring? He needs to count it, you know? Anyway... But yeah, I really liked that ref. He had a lot of gumption.
Yeah, he sure did. And it was cool because it was a no DQ match. And really, he's just there to count pinfalls or you know, watch somebody tap out. But they brought him into the storyline, which I feel they used to do a lot more and don't do anymore. Back when I was growing up,
what a missed opportunity.
And what an old way to start a sentence. Back when I was growing up, back in my day, the referees had names and you knew who they were.
Oh, really?
And you would root for your favorite referees. I totally get what you're saying because it was just, you know, when Earl Hebner was calling a match and it was great, or Charles Robinson.
Yeah.
And now they've
I love when they get huffy and puffy and get up in their face and just, I'm sick of
and
this.
He shoves Triple H.
Oh, yeah,
like,
he shoves him. And it was great. Yeah, I dig that stuff. I think the more unusual, at this point in my watching, the more unusual, the better for me, you know? And seeing a little referee push someone like Triple H around just made me smile.
Yeah, I love that match. And then we did Shawn Michaels versus Kurt Angle. You know, my favorite part of that match, I think what's great about Kurt Angle is just, he's funny, he's a world-class athlete, he can be a good guy or a bad guy. Like, he's just, to me, Kurt Angle's the complete package. My favorite part of that match is where he, And I don't know that for you, without having seen a bunch of Kurt Angle matches,
yeah, I need to
that
see
it
more.
Wouldn't make much sense. But he would do this thing where he'd wear his little wrestling singlet, mm-hmm. and he'd flip down the shoulders of him. And that's when you knew he meant business.
Oh, shit. Yeah. He's real mad now.
And then in this
his
match,
singlet can't even fit him.
Yeah, he just rips off the shoulders, and he goes crazy, and he's, you know, starts suplexing everybody. And my favorite part was, you think he's going to... he's just fed up with Shawn Michaels, and he's already pulled the singlet down, and it wasn't enough to finish the match, and it's sort of a Superman move. And so he gets up, and he puts the shoulders back on the singlet just to take them back off again. It was like he's reloading. He just, like, reloads. And then if you listen carefully, he just, like, looks at Shawn Michaels and is like, "That's it, motherfucker!" And then he, like, climbs and, like, misses a moonsault, and, like, just the match keeps going. But that was my favorite little moment. Like, Kurt Angle, like, had a long history of just, like, cracking
also,
me up.
Can I say missed moonsaults are another thing that makes me cringe?
Oh, yeah, you were talking about the tombstone.
Well, maybe we should make a list of things that make Brian cringe. Thumbtacks, moonsaults, tombstones, you know, just all these. I don't know why I'm watching wrestling. I don't know why.
Oh, that's awesome.
Falling off of things that you shouldn't be that you shouldn't have climbed up in the first
sure.
place.
Oh yeah, I can't wait to get to like a Mick Foley or Terry Funk episode. We'll have some fun. I once saw a death match that had. Oh. Wait, first of all, it's called the death match.
Death matches.
And it had
that damn documentary you sent me.
Yeah,
ruined my.
It was one of the first things I ever sent Brian. Was this like Vice documentary on the like a King of the Death Match tournament down in somewhere in the South.
I puked away three times
in rural Alabama. I don't know, but I saw one once that had real piranhas.
What the hell?
He dumped them in a tank. It was in Japan, and the guy dumped them into another. Like a tank of piranhas.
And what happened to the guy?
He got bit by piranhas.
So is there like a, like, do we know how fast piranhas, like, we should look that up some, or somebody in the comments tell us like how long it takes piranhas to devour somebody.
Yeah. That's,
He didn't die.
He was okay. No, honestly, okay. He was fine.
All right.
One thing we didn't talk about is, we mentioned it, but sort of that he had a whole career leading up to his singles career.
Okay.
Shawn Michaels was one of the best tag team wrestlers of all time. And he,
oh, really?
When he first got his start, he wrestled in Texas, and he wrestled for a group called AWA, and sort of bounced around the South.
Okay.
Trying to get into WWF. Briefly did, got fired, nobody liked him, and
you're
so,
fired.
Yeah, exactly. And he teamed up with a guy named Marty Jannetty, and they were the Midnight Rockers, and they were one of the most exciting. Imagine two Jerichos.
Oh, I love
as
that.
A tag team.
That's great.
I know, and I just, it's so hard.
Nobody can pull that off either. Like nowadays, nobody other than Jericho can pull off a Jericho. There are guys who try.
I feel there's a lot of people who have his athletic skill, but not the mic skill. Or they have the mic skill, but they can't quite wrestle as well as him. Like, Jericho, to me, is one of the all-time best.
Yeah, like, and his in-ring theatrics. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, he can play the weenie, and he can also, you know, do the code breaker. Come out of nowhere and do the code breaker. You know, things like that. Just,
absolutely.
I love Jericho.
Did you know Jericho's a real-life rock star?
I didn't.
So he
is
the
really?
Front man of a band called Fozzy.
Oh, gosh.
And so he'll be off TV.
What does he do? Like
he sings?
Well, I mean, like, they tour everywhere. And, like, these guys are, like, working their asses off.
Yeah.
And he still finds time to.
So he now, in the last 10 years or so, he sort of splits his time between the two.
Okay.
So you probably won't see Jericho in a couple months. He'll go on his big summer tour or whatever.
Okay.
And so, like,
I see.
So,
well, because we're going to see him at Payback. Payback!
Payback!
April 30th.
I feel there's like a pay-per-view every 2 weeks now.
I feel like
kinda
that,
like,
too.
It. So him and Marty Jannetty came up, and I wanted to put a match of the Rockers on this list, and I feel like the Rockers is like a whole nother episode. They had this like amazing career, but never won the WWF title.
Mm-hmm.
And every week I like to do something called story time, where I go find an obscure
story. I'm sitting crisscross applesauce.
Yeah.
Ready to hear story.
So I have two, because I think both of them aren't super obscure, but one was to bring back the Rockers, you know, sort of give you some context for that, and then one is from later on, which is more of the backstage asshole side of it. So I'll start with the nice one. Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels were just tearing up WWF, and they started feuding with the Hart Foundation.
Okay.
So, I mean, his history with Bret Hart was from very early on.
Oh, okay. They really did hate each other.
They
for a long time.
Have this match where the Rockers win the titles.
Okay.
But halfway through the match, one of the ropes breaks off.
Oh.
And so now there's two ropes with one loose dangly rope, and the match is just trash because you can barely wrestle mm-hmm, with it. Mm-hmm. They win the titles, but the match is so bad that Vince decides not to air it.
Oh, really?
And so they just pretend it never happened. And for one reason or another, they never won the titles. You would think that, like, oh, these are our champions. Well, just tomorrow night you'll win the titles. Mm. They never did.
Oh, really?
They never won the titles. They
just never retried.
They never, yeah. And so, and then there was a clip I wanted to send you, but there's no context to it. You don't even know who Marty Jannetty is, but they break up the Rockers by Shawn Michaels throwing Marty Jannetty like through a glass window, mm-hmm. not like to his death, just like they're mm-hmm. on a set for this guy named Brutus the Barber Beefcake. He was like a yeah, he's like a good name. Like a barber with a mullet and with these big like lawn shears. So they're in his barber shop, and Sweet Chin Music's his best friend Marty Jannetty. It was real
his
at
best
the time.
Friend.
At the time, it really was like Chris Jericho, Kevin
yeah.
Owens. Like,
yeah.
why is my name on this list? Like, mm-hmm. and he throws him through this window. It's this big dramatic moment, and so
that seems to be a really common thing because that was with him and Triple H as well.
Yeah, friends
They're
turn
best
on friends.
Friends.
Yeah, they love.
How
that.
Could you do that to him? I guess Shawn Michaels was a victim in that relationship.
Yeah. And Shawn Michaels, you know, they break up and Marty Jannetty becomes a sort of a jobber and never really does
really,
much
just
else.
Like,
and then Shawn
like
Michaels
one of those,
goes on
one
to
of those
be Shawn
bathroom
Michaels.
Matches that you were was it a
bathroom
match?
Yeah, it's sort of like, well, you know, I guess I could watch this or I smell churros on my way and I might go take a look.
Maybe I'll go grab myself a sandwich.
Yeah. And then the other story I had is this one. I think if you were watching at the time, they talk about it on air, but sort of turn it into an angle. Shawn Michaels, as we said, a huge asshole, did not mind flirting with, sleeping with people who you know were in relationships. And one night
and doing them pills with them.
Oh yeah, lots of pills. And so he was at a bar in Syracuse, New York, and there's a group of Marines, real life U.S. Marines.
Oh, no.
And yeah, you can see where this is going.
Oh, no.
Shawn Michaels flirts with one of them, and so the Marines put him in the hospital. They just mess his whole business up, and WWF decides to like turn it into an angle, and they pull him off TV, and they do this whole thing. And really, it's because he was hospitalized by these Marines.
It was like a real asshole or real flirty,
you know. And there's lots of rumors. I try, you know, the story time segment. I really like to find stuff that's provable,
yeah,
you know. But there's tons of rumors too that are like super fun. That there was a rumor that Jerry the King Lawler came into WWF and he wears a big crown, and there was a rumor that the Click all took a shit in the crown. But I later found out that it was the Undertaker
that took a shit
in the crown. So Paul Bearer was on an interview and he was like, oh no, that was Undertaker. We worked with Lawler in the indies and he paid us in food stamps and he was an asshole. So right when he came, we decided to show him a lesson. So Undertaker and two other guys shit in this
crown.
I can't
imagine.
I couldn't believe it either.
Like Undertaker just seems like such a, like a, I've wrestled my match and now I'm going to go sleep in my coffin or strangle a child or something like that. You know what I mean?
No, he like literally had Paul Bearer lock the door, you know, watch the door. I'm going to pull my pants down and I'm going to poop in this crown. Like, it was a weird Undertaker story. And if I had known about that story last week, it would have been the story segment of last week's episode. But, mm-hmm.
You know, actually during this time of watching these matches as well, I've gained a better appreciation of the announcers as well.
Oh, absolutely. Because
actually, Vince McMahon, he announced a bunch of these ones. Yeah. I didn't know that he announced at all.
He's still one of my favorites.
Yeah. And he's always talking like this.
Yeah.
And he's usually talking at this pitch the whole time. And he's usually knocking sense into the other announcer who's obviously rooting for the other guy, the wrong guy, you know? You know, he was the one that was actually, now that I think about it, he was the one who was trying to explain what the Ultimate Warrior was pulling down from the sky and things
Absolutely.
Like that, you know? Like, he was trying, like, he actually, you can tell that he's trying to, like, flesh out the characters and the brands of each character,
yeah,
you know, during the match, which I think is actually really, really cool and smart. Jerry the King Lawler, he is, he's like the classic voice of, yeah, of announcing, you know, he's always over the top.
Yeah. Yeah. I love his like squeal.
Uh-huh.
It's just like, yeah. And then especially during the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
It was all like,
what's he? What's dirty he doing?
Jokes.
What's
and
he doing? He's going under the apron.
I gotta show you some clips. Anytime like a female is on camera, he's just ridiculous. Shit. Yeah, he's a monster.
I saw. Okay, so actually, like, so I do my best with these matches. I do my best to see the package that they have at the beginning, you know, yeah, so that you have a little context what's going on between these two dudes.
Oh yeah, when there's like a pay per view match and they show the recap.
They like have like an edited thing together of like, well, here's where we are now and there's where we were, you know. But like there were two women, I don't know who they were, but it was before the package aired, and they were talking about. She's like, I'll beat you in the ring, and she's like, I'll beat you in bed. And then she's like, no, in the ring. And then the other girl's like, no, in bed. And then and it's like, fine, you know, or whatever, you know. It's like classic trashy, you know, everything you've told me about the Attitude Era.
The roles have really changed between us now, because I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I have to go back and see what you're talking about.
That's because I watched it. I didn't search for it, but I found it.
That is amazing.
Anyway, and then it cuts to Lawler. He was like, oh, I can hardly wait for this, or yeah, whatever, you know. He's like being his little skeevy, gross, yeah, pervy he's self.
Super gross.
Oh man.
We talked about the Undertaker versus Mankind, that Hell in the Cell. I feel that JR makes that, you know.
Oh yeah.
Like, my God, he's broken in half.
And really, like, yeah.
Yeah, he's the best. So no Shawn Michaels episode would be complete without talking about God. Because
yeah, well, yeah,
they and I wanted to send you a match, but it's a terrible match, and I was like, it didn't make the final cut. But he has a pill problem in real life. He decides he's gonna go get help. He's now married to one of the Nitro girls. The WCW had like a dance team, you know, these girls that would come out and dance every
week. Why am I not surprised that he's married to a WCW dance girl?
Yes, absolutely. You're absolutely right. So he married a girl named Whisper.
Whisper.
And they have a kid. And when the kid is like 2 years old, he decides like, now the kid's old enough to see me just coked out of my mind. I gotta get clean.
Yeah.
So he goes. He gets super religious, gets into AA, and when he comes back, they try to do like a DX reunion, and it works. It's just Triple H and Shawn Michaels, but they kept having to find ways to like write him off the camera mm-hmm. when the really dirty things start happening, because he's all of a sudden Shawn Michaels of all people was having all these objections morally to like some of the like dirtier things.
You can have sex in the ring.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't do it. And I did hear about that. That's something that we'll have to talk about.
Yeah,
I know a little bit about that.
And so they decide to make it an angle of how much he loves God now.
Oh, no.
And so Vince McMahon starts cutting these promos about how he wants to fight God, and how God's scared of him, and how God like can't step up with him.
God is scared of McMahon?
Absolutely. Oh, which I kind of buy, maybe. I'm scared of him.
I'm a little scared of McMahon.
Yeah, he's a terrifying guy. So it all leads up to a tag match, and this is how we can close this episode, but it all leads up to a tag match of Vince McMahon and Shane McMahon versus Shawn Michaels and God being just an invisible presence, and they start cutting promos to God going, I can't believe it. They kick the shit out of Michaels, and they go, I can't believe, God, that you would just leave Michaels to get his ass kicked. And like, it was a low point. Vince has come out to say, he's like, yeah, that was a product of the times. I don't think we'd ever do that one again. And that was one of the things where I came back and I wasn't watching for those couple years, and I came back and I was like, wait, what? He wrestled who?
Wrestled
some
God.
Some guy dressed up as God. Oh, what? No, there wasn't a guy dressed up. It was just, they just pretended God was, okay, got it.
I feel like that was probably the hardest decision they had to make, is like, well, do we dress somebody up as God, or what do we do? And they're like, no, we can't do that.
Yeah.
We can't do that. Because first off, that would ruin the career of anyone.
Yeah. Oh, I played God in one segment. Yeah.
Exactly.
But I can just picture Vince backstage just like, well, God's there. God's all around us. We all have. So that's it. Shawn Michaels, master politician.
Oh, man.
totally cared about himself more than the business, but also completely resilient and always came back, overcoming injuries and overcoming the fact that so many people hated him, and just made a huge career and was super successful. It was a
suck it.
He suck it. Yeah, we'll end it on suck it. I want to know who you're going to pick next week, because I feel this is like one of the most stacked list of opponents there ever has been.
Yeah, this one was really hard.
Like, so to recap, we've got Razor Ramon, yeah. Scott Hall, Diesel, Kevin Nash,
yeah.
Bret Hart, Triple H, Chris Jericho, Chris Benoit, Kurt Angle. It's a hard list.
This is really hard. I'm going to go Canadian Screwjob.
Bret Hart. Okay, you got it.
Yeah.
Okay, so next week, everybody tune in. Feel free to email us or write on the Rhyme Time Television Facebook page. Let us know your favorite Bret Hart moments, favorite Bret Hart matches. We got an email from Whitney's Uncle Thomas. Uncle Thomas, he used to, when Whitney and I had a podcast a long time ago, he would write in every week, and he was telling me that he was jealous that you get to learn all this stuff.
Oh, really?
Fresh.
For the first time?
Because he's a long-time wrestling fan. We're always talking wrestling, and his kids are wrestling fans, and so, thanks to everybody who was commenting on Facebook, and let us know, you know, what you thought of it, and keep sharing it with your friends, and
for sure.
Next week we'll be back to talk about Bret Hart. Thanks for listening.
This has been Running the Ropes. It's your